This is the beginning of New Rio, Channel 1 Right, and I'm getting ready for the visit of Everett Smith this Friday for supper, the 9th of April, 1971. Channel 1 Right, the beginning of New Rio, and I'm getting ready for Everett Smith this Friday for supper, the 9th of April, 1971, Good Friday. Channel 1 Right, a New Rio, I'm getting ready for the visit of Everett Smith this Friday night, the 9th of April, 1971, Good Friday. Channel 1 Right, a New Rio, and I'm getting ready for the visit of Everett Smith this Friday night for supper, the 9th of April, 1971.
We just could sit down and wait for her to come. Bring it one at a time.
There's no blood in that.
Fine.
Oh, yeah. She's the one that don't...
I don't like it rare or medium. My brother likes it, though.
Oh, yes.
He likes it, what's called rare, I guess. Juice and water on the on the plate, but I never did care for
it. I can't believe it's that funny. I don't like to see the blood. But
don't wait, Everett. Go ahead.
I thought you'd have it. She has it now. I didn't have the blessing. And then we'll meet again. Let me ask you. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the privilege of being here and having this fellowship one with another and enjoying this food. Bless this food to the body. Bless the one that prepared it. Bless all whom we should care for and pray for this day. And we give honor and praise to thee. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.
Yes, and so you haven't left yet for your work.
No, ma'am. My brother wanted me to take one of the cars and go over there, this weekend.
Oh, I'll get you one.
This is fine. This is a steak knife, yeah.
That thing,
But he was going to let me know in a word, but I have a knife that's going to be around the 15th, so that'll be another week. The cool weather and the rains and everything delayed it.
Delayed.
Then they had some frost and bit them down, and they had to come back. And what you're worried about now is a yield. In other words, South Florida, they're not getting any yield. And he wants to get a yield. If they don't get the yield, why, they can't make any money.
Yield of what is it now?
Potatoes, iced potatoes. Mm-hmm. Spuds.
They don't afraid they're not going to have a big yield.
That's right. They had only 30% down in South Florida. And so if they don't have but 30%, he's going to be hurting. So this costs lots of money to spray it, fertilize them.
Yes.
Well, what cut them down? The weather?
That's dry weather in South Florida.
Yeah.
They hadn't had any rain until that rain hit the other day.
Yeah. Oh, that's why they had the draft.
And they tell me, in other words, that they won't make one water bottle on 10 acres down there. Said they ought to bring some money up here. People can come through with them now. So I said, well, they can plant over and have them before they can here.
Yeah.
Have some vegetables, sir. And here's some just pure baked grains.
That meat's delicious.
Yes.
How's the flour?
Flavor. Right good.
Do you, say you'll be?
No.
No, you don't butcher
your. Do you have that,
Yes, right here.
What you working
coffee?
With? That a coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
I haven't had any coffee. This all day. I ordered this.
Well, come on, eat the steak. We'll get the coffee in a minute when you get it started. You about ready to plug it up?
Yeah, I'll just let you have your lettuce like you will. Now, look at that.
I'm cutting
he
up a little.
He knows how it does.
Yes, I'm cutting up a little.
What would you like with this? Would you like some salt?
No, I want a little salt. Do you have
yep,
a little salt?
I never get things salt in
there.
They say it's not good for you, but I like salt. Working person, you need salt, they say, so I work.
A working man.
Brother had one of the jobs, there's no work in it. Like I'm telling Leah. Leah doesn't have a job in work. He was at detective bunch. He and Willie both. I guess Willie told you he was up there, didn't he? Well, you know Willie was up there at the university.
What'd you do?
Well, I called a guard, a detective, something. Checked the building over when they break in. And,
or at night?
Mm-hmm. He go to work at 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
I got him a job. They wanted me back.
Well, how come he's working at night? You like working at night?
No, sir, I don't like it. My brother had a shift, and they changed him back. Now he has the afternoon. He goes to work at 4 in the afternoon.
Well, you know, people do the most peculiar things. I never figured Willie would work at night.
I didn't either. I told him about the job, and I told him that's the reason I didn't want it. And I said, the main thing is I didn't like the job and at night, and the pay wasn't any, you know, about half of what I was making before when I was up there. Started him off about 3,800, something like that.
Now, what are you starting off?
Then you got to wait. You got to wait 6 months before you get a raise.
Do you want some plain gravy?
No, ma'am, I don't believe I do.
Well, put it back on. It's not gravy, it's just real juice.
But he liked it, and he's some. There's no work in it, though. Just like my brother, he's guarding down that floor. There's no work in that. Well, these bits good.
Well, let me see.
But I may get back with some Cunha a little late on, but maybe the fall now, because when I get through over there, I'm going to have to come back and start with that hay bale again, I guess. But they ordered the pile takeoff, and they have it, and he's billing me for it. But another man was going to take it, but he never did take it. I thought a crumb had run with some kind of politics down at Bellevue. You know a fellow by the name of Crumb that's in politics, Bellevue?
Mm-hmm. That's out of my territory.
He runs a conveyor belt and haul this citrus pup, you know, and they dump it in loose in on the bins and all. Junior, you're going to, you know, let him haul feed for pay. And the writer put on the bill and said, this should have billed Everett Smith for this until the Cedric Junior Smith. So he sent me one every week, every month, I mean. First every month I get one. It's up there laying on the floor, brand new. On a heavy duty. That lightning boy, he got one for his.
Now, Everett, tell me now about your baler. You've got one of those good Alice Chalmers balers.
New Holland 271 is a C-Rig.
Yeah.
It's a big one,
that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you get that brand new?
Well, it's been used 2000, as I told you, 2000 bales.
At
the university.
You got it from the university.
Yeah, $3,000, but I think the thing costs about $3,800.
And you still paid $3,000 for it?
I still paid $3,000 for it.
Well, old Joe, what's his name?
Farmer.
He had to have a part of that.
He didn't. I saw he didn't get in. I was what he allowed, told him he's going to allow them on trading in and get some more equipment. They got a forage hopper. They quit, you know, messing with it because they didn't have anybody, and you had sense enough up there to bale hay.
Oh, they didn't.
But I helped them 2 years, then I turned it over to Cedric Stokes. You know Cedric Stokes? He's had it ever since. Williston.
No,
Cedric Stokes.
I know Jack Stokes.
Well, it's Jack's brother.
Yeah.
Jack waits up there with a sheep man.
Is he crooked to Jack?
Yeah, just about it. He will work a little bit more, Jack.
Yeah. Jack's one of the first fellows I knew when I came down here.
See, he bought a bull from me 3 years ago. told me to turn him loose, and I put him loose, and I said, I'd bum a bull, I'd kill this bull, and throw him over the fence. You know, he get out of the way, he might want to play with him, he said.
Well, what does Sidney do?
He farm. He got a bale or two. That's the reason he go to Penn West the hay deal for him every year now.
Well, he works for the hay deal now,
mm-hmm. He's been there two or three years.
Well, what?
I haven't been up there working on the hay deal since I got the bale.
Well, what's in it?
Well, that's what it is. No, well, they want you to do too much, no work. But you can't make anything with them people. Of course, university, they want you to do it for little enough.
They do.
Mm-hmm. The price, now, well, they have a set price, in other words, say 30 or 35 cents a bale.
Yeah.
Cut it, dry it, rig it. And on top of that, they want you to take it and haul it and put it in the barn for 35 cents.
Yeah.
And then, well, we wouldn't pay them but a nickel, but now then you're costing 12 cents now to get it in the barn. I paid 12 cents last year.
And you're lucky to get it in the barn?
That's all.
Get it in for 12 cents, mm-hmm. Aren't you?
Right.
You're lucky to find somebody to do it.
Right.
And you use your equipment?
That's right. Yeah, I cut it, dry it, and rake it, and bale it. And it cost me 12 cents on top of it, and it's fine, it'll cost you about $8, you know, getting it through the Farm Bureau or whatever.
Well, why would they contract for that? Looks like they'd do it themselves. They got all the rest of the
They didn't have anybody knows how to handle the stuff. That's the reason they got scared of the bale. They want to get it done for nothing. That's the dumbest bunch I've ever seen in my life up there. You haven't been around in the farm crew and see what they're doing.
I used to go around there all the time. But I haven't been over there in a long time. When I went over there, they just had a bunch of one-horse farmers that couldn't make a living out in the country, didn't come over there and work.
I was telling you about the other day, and I was about that doctor who was using the equipment, you know, university out there with his 200 acres and got in good shape.
Yeah.
The colored boy working. I believe I told you about that.
Yeah, we
talked. I said, the other day I was up there, I had a little time. Since we were talking. And I pulled by the shop, you know, the back gate was open over on 34th Street, and I said, well, that's where I used to come out. And they made me go by that shop there, you know, and punch that clock. But I cut that out. I was out of my way going through and all that crowd of people, you know, and I just go on 34th Street and just keep on batting across the highway up there, and going in the hay there in a little while,
yeah.
About 10 miles.
Yeah.
So I pulled up there and I pulled into the shop. And you know what they do? I knew one of the fellows in there. They're building all kind of bodies and stuff for themselves, personally, with the shop equipment.
Yeah.
And they're using the rod, you know, and that welding rod, you know, it costs $1 a stick, in other words.
Yeah.
You know, if you know anything about price of stuff.
One of those.
And they're building it for themselves. What? And that boy told me he'd done sold 3 or 4 of them. And he's making one or two more.
You know, I used to know a fella up at the beef unit, and I forget his name, but he was one of the finest fellas I ever knew.
Beef unit.
Beef research unit. And,
Were you a foreman or?
No, he wasn't a foreman. His name was something. And, he made me a trailer, and I still got it. I think it's nowhere out. It's indestructible. He got a friend of his had some wheels, and he framed it. It's right out there now. The only trouble is it's so big. I don't have anything to pull it with.
It's a heavy duty.
Yeah.
Heavy duty trailer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We could carry a. Something like one of the hammer mills like Lightning had on here, I imagine, on that thing. That thing can carry, you know, 5, 6, 8 tons, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What's the heavy duty trail?
I ought to let somebody have it and pick up a little lighter version I use. Well, what's your idea, Everett, on your baler? You don't want to use the motor anymore?
No, it uses gas, and I got the live takeoff. And usually put it with it most of the time anyhow. Have to, in other words, if I load the wagon behind it. I got one of those elevators, you know, one man standing on the wagon, and he, one man can stack, you know, 60 or 80 bales. Hook from another wagon, and you take a tractor or a pickup truck and carry it on the barn while I'm loading another one. I'll have it loaded before we get back if we don't hurry. Well, it'll bail, you can bail something like this. I'm bailing, you know, 1,000, 1,500 bales in the afternoon. Maybe. But the gas, oil, changing filter, spark plug, and I first got that bale.
It's just like having...
Have the air cool. It's like a lawnmower. If you ever had to deal with a lawnmower, every year, when you put it on the shed, you know, when you start the next summer, if you ever had one, I had one. If I got you out of it last year, I guess it was, I had one of your tow rolls. Self-pulled, you know, and a nice solid oil on the handlebar.
Yeah.
Well, it's built the same way. The valve gets stuck. In the gaskets by them wholesaler, White Electric or Lovell Brother, and get Eric White or someone to come over and help me with it. And give him $8 or $10, and the gasket cost $8 or $10, and I had to do that every year.
Yeah.
Man said, why don't you go out there once in a while and crank it up?
Yeah.
I said, well, the person don't have time to do all that, just like your lawnmower. Why don't you go out there and get it out and crank it up every once in a while? Well, he got something else to do.
That's right.
We're good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to... That fella got so many old motors around the house, he can't get around to it. Keep battery water in it, you know.
Well, I've got a battery in there. I had to charge the battery the other day with it.
Yeah.
And then I brush the points on the thing. With a piece of sandpaper.
Yeah.
Take them out. They're down in that cup, in other words. You know how it is on a car, what that thing, same as a car.
Now, you don't have
I take it out with a screwdriver, in other words. Just take the screws out on the three screws. Then I take the piece of sandpaper and run through that point and put it back in there. Then I caught the flywheel in my hand, you know, turn it over to see if it's breaking all right, and it was. Then I put it back together, put it back up, and mash the starter one time. Then that thing fired up and run like a brand new. That's what my boy said. That's the reason I hate you to get shit out of it. I really like that thing.
Yeah.
He said, I'm pulling it with my tractor, pull it with that M farm oil tractor, pull it with his, or A model. But my tractor got a live takeoff, it's so.
Well, Evan, when you make hay out there, help your neighbors out like that, what do you get out of that?
Well, usually they cut it down.
Yeah.
And I come and rake it and bale.
Yeah.
I get 20 cents a bale. They cut it down.
And then they haul it.
Then they haul it, right.
Well, that you're still getting
the money's
worth.
I'm trying. They're getting the money's worth. As I told Eric, I said, that girl, I did it because she's a widow woman, and she needs all the help she could, and I can make it expensive, in other words, at 20 cents.
Well, you wouldn't get rich at it, would you?
But she's working in the lunchroom and drove a school bus for several years, and so docket one or two of them, I think, whipped her. She couldn't stand that.
Right now.
So she quit riding the scoop bus.
If it rained on the hay, and you got to handle it again, you can't come out.
No. But if it does that, well, then they got to fluff it. I'll make them fluff it, and I'll rake it again. But they got to fluff it and dry it. You got one of fluffing machines. You've seen them thing that rotary.
They do the work, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
How long have they been in this country?
About 3 or 4 years.
Well, how come it takes so long to get here?
I don't know. They had them across the water. This is a foreign-made outfit, and that lightning boy got one made over there somewhere in a different country. But now they're using a Cedar Junior bought one of those new machines. They cost about $4,000 or $5,000. They call it a hay bind. It cuts it and a rubber roller dries it. When you use a wind roller, it'll leave it flat. We found, you know, with a moisture and all having around it best to not wind roller, leave it flat. But that crimped the stem, though, when it was dry, you know, half again, half the time. They will, you know, just cut with a sycamore.
He really put some money in that equipment.
But Cedar Jr. bought a brand new one, and I was the first one to drive in. He said, you ever drove one of these things before? Oh, yeah, the first one when they made out, they hadn't been out for 2 years. This millionaire over here at the Pine Acre Ranch bought one.
Bedford.
He bought one, yeah. And I drove it.
Yeah.
And we cut out of clover. I cut 70 or 80 acres out of clover.
Yeah.
And it could sow, you know, 1,000 acres they'd have had. People come in and trust and got it, you know, faster we'd cure it and bait.
Out of field?
And you got $5 or $10 a ton more than you can get for hay, you know.
Yeah.
Horse people, horse farm,
yeah.
Local people.
And they come over there themselves and get it.
Come and get it. One of them, one of those trainers down there, that fellow Johnson, has just bought a piece of property there. I believe his name's Johnson. That don't seem like his name either. Anyway, he had Jeepy to let his men haul it, in other words, and he paid them, you know, 12 cents a mile, just haul it. Hadn't have to haul it, about a mile and a half. So they made some good money hauling that out of soul.
Yeah.
Old James Brown made enough to buy a new international truck that year.
He worked for the Jeepy?
You know James Brown, the colored man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He worked with him. He's blocked way, you know, off season, blade blocked.
Oh, yeah.
You make $20 to $40 a day, you know, laying block.
In the daytime,
they take these trucks, in other words, and get them some men, though. And they grow some. About $100,000 worth of hay a year over at that ranch.
So he gets the men in, he pays them, and gets the men in there he can depend on. Well, I didn't know he did that. How long has he been doing that? The ones I knew when I used to go over there every now and then, he just using just common labor.
Well, this man here, he got
hard
time. He's been with him, I know, about 3 years, because I worked over there nearly a year.
I don't know,
Faye. That's where I run that hay barn, because he paid me about...
If it is,
he paid me about 50 cents an hour more than what he's paying him blocking.
Just unplug
right?
it. Just unplug it.
I don't know what it is.
Or well, just unplug it and take my word for it and sit down.
In other words, he paid me $2 an hour and he's paying them, I think, $1.40 an hour. He paid me $2 an hour. And that's where I drove it. That's what I told Cedar Union.
Yeah.
That I knew how to drive on. And he's wanting to adjust it and set it, you know, to set the bar in other words. But it's like a mowing machine, in other words. We got to adjust it until that blade and them knives, you know, guard up. Or to keep them flat according to your land, how you want to mow your hay.
Well?
But some of them told him, see, the junior said, you can't tell him anything. He said, he done forgot more than you'll ever learn about one of them things. Even though I ain't messed with one, you know, just 1 year. But I didn't say anything to him because he's younger than I was, and I didn't want to let him know, you know, I bought him, I'm smart, because he's the one that, you know, bought the machine.
That's right. The man that puts out the money or they would talk every night, that don't
That's what I told Dr. Hinchy up here.
What'd you tell Dr. Hinchy? Oh, about Cedric?
Yeah, I told him. Cedric made me mad a time or two, and I told him that I'd get my pickup and go back to the house. I said, I didn't ask for a job. You asked me to come and run this machine for you. Which you did.
Like well,
the man
maybe.
With Hastings, in other words. He don't bother me. He knows I know how to run the business.
Well,
I go out and run the business for him.
Yeah. But I tell you, you know, I've thought about that since you was over here. Cedar got, he maybe don't know as that much as that man in Hastings. And he got all that money tied up, and it might make him nervous, you see.
That's true, too.
So if you make you nervous, won't
he? Yes, sir.
If he gets nervous, it'll make
that's
you
right.
nervous.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're right. Well, that's what happened. I walked that down to Citrus Pup the other day. Went down and got another little ton of Citrus Pup. That wind's that Thursday. We'll call them and say, well, yeah, bring your bag and you'll get, you know, a ton of pup.
Yeah.
Got down there, well, they didn't have it.
Uh-oh.
They had it in their own bag, no, but that cost you, you know, money. And I told her, I said, well, I said, that's it. They make mistakes. Then they started, they done made a mistake. They loading truck buck and made a mistake of 100 bags on one truck, one semi.
Yeah.
And that's when the, one of the big, they got a lot of bosses just like up at the university.
Oh.
And that made them mad. And they'll stop with getting on that superintendent of the mill there, you know, with the pup mill, Jack, little short young fella, wear the hard hat. You see the fella with the hard hat, they supposed to be, you know, kind of strat foreman or something. And that's when he got mad and said he'd quit. He'd leave. He didn't have to work here. He'd find a job. He knew he'd get a job. But I said, it wasn't your fault, Jack. As a man had been running the thing there for 4 years, he's the one in other words that held responsible. It wasn't you. That man had a job, and that's the first mistake he'd ever made. And everybody's subject to mistake, but how come Earl Stock getting on to you? That's you. You know Earl Stock, head of the thing? If you've met him, well, you know how he is.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Now, what did they do? They make it?
Yeah. They make it, dry it, and all. But that buck man, though, was getting all that something that had in the bin. We couldn't get it and had to get in the bag, in other words, and had our bags in the pickup out there and brought them back home.
Right.
I had to pay that extra money for it.
Well?
But they wound up, in other words, and I said, I don't know, I might have said this before. About the rattlesnake song. You haven't heard it, it's the number hit. If you turn on the radio or TV, if you listen that much, it's number one. It's a religious talking. It's not a song, it's a talking outfit. Well, the boy went to this old timey church, you know, made back in a year to go in there and playing the music. And they had these rattlesnakes, they all got the spirit, got in the spirit. And they came and about scared him to death and said, I was scared to death. And they thought I was in the spirit and they brought me one. But he said, I wasn't bashful or timid. He said, it didn't have but five. And the girl that was there with him, you know, singing, I guess, said, I looked at her and she's just about 20 seconds of falling, hitting the floor. And I told her, look around and see where the back door was. She said, I already have them. There ain't none. And he said, reckon where they want one. And she's fixing to fall, in other words, and he says, now, take it easy, take it easy, don't panic. And that's the word that I was going to say a minute ago. That old saying is, I told that boy down there, Jack, I said, you heard this song? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, that's coming out now, and everybody gets mad or riled up, like you say, about wanting to lose money or something.
Yeah.
Just tell them, in other words, remember that rattlesnake song, take it easy, don't panic, because that doesn't do any good, which it doesn't.
Well, now, is that a pretty big operation down there, that Citrus Pup place?
Yes, sir.
At Ocala?
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of things at Ocala, haven't they?
They should have.
Now, you go down there and haul it yourself, and how much you have to pay for it? How much you have to get it for?
Well, if you figure, I'm a smith, too.
Yeah.
I'm an office girl, you know, in the thing that I got in with her, in other words, and I get it like Cedar did, you know, he buys, you know, 100 to 300 tons maybe,
yeah,
a year, you see.
Yeah.
And I don't buy too much, like they said, if we'd have bought, you know, bought a buck and had a barn or something to put it in, we'd save that extra money.
Yeah.
And we'd have it and wouldn't have to, you know, go down and buy it in that bag, you know, wasn't in the sack, you know, the rats eat them, and the
yeah,
bags are no good to hold around.
I didn't think
but,
rats.
Yeah, said, don't say anything about it, because said, these other people here, they won't like it. And I said, no, I don't tell you anything about business, no worries. And we buying it for $2, and they sell it for $3 or $3.25.
You buying it for $2?
A little over $2.
$2?
And you buy it anywhere else, it costs $3.
That's $40?
Mm-hmm.
Do they use snap corn anymore?
Yeah, when you get it. I had some, you know, for my 25 acres, and I kept a ton.
Yeah.
And Cedar Jr. sold him the rest of it, in other words.
Oh.
And I've been mixing a little with my heifer, in other words.
But it's hard to snap corn anymore. They mix so much stuff with it, don't they?
But the The feed, Cedar Junior, he mixed other stuff with it, that's right. But down there, they don't have any snap corn. Everything is orange peels and the seeds and the pulp.
Yeah.
They're cooked, dried.
Yeah. What is this? What is this?
But
kiss?
It's 6% protein, and you mix a little cottonseed meal in like Ed had been doing.
Yeah.
It's 41, and it's the cheaper feed you can get. You can't buy any ready mixed feed, you know, less than about $4 on maybe.
It's all high now. Way up there. This Seminole doesn't sell any snap corn.
No. They used to have a mill and snap it and boil it.
All
but you quit it.
All they sell is
it's ready mixed feed.
Ready mixed feed. Got corn in it.
And it's high. That Seminole special, I believe they said it. She's not here right at $4. by the ton lot, if you buy just one or two bags,
yeah,
like everything else, it runs you extra quarter, 50 cents.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's.
But Seminole sell this citrus pulp just like from Libby. They buy it and put it in the warehouse and they sell it too, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when they make the profit, see? They got to have at least right around $1 a bag profit. But Ayer said, I told Ayer, don't say anything about what we're paying this stuff now.
I didn't think they'd get that much just for having it.
Yes, they do. Because I know as big as they ought to sell a lot of it.
Yeah.
They ought to sell as much or more than Cedar Junior uses up on them.
Well, you see, the little fella just wants a little bit. He can't go down at the
well,
plant. He got to get it to Seminole or somebody.
I try to get it something. Well,
so he pays for it, doesn't he?
Well, unless you know what you're doing, you know, just like Willie, he went down that new truck ahead and put a ton on there.
Yes.
Yeah, and Willie got the same price as I did.
Yeah.
Willie too.
For them old wood scouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
right. Will they eat the citrus?
I told them they ought to sell some of that timber, clean up a man back there if he's going to have passion for man.
Well, is he going
100
to?
100 some odd acres. Yeah, hold on to it.
Is he going to clean up some of it?
No.
Willie talks about doing things, but he don't seem to get around to doing it
mm-hmm.
all.
That's where all them boys are. His older brother the same way.
Who's his older brother?
Willie's older. No, Martin younger than Willie looks. Oh, Martin 2 years younger than Willie.
Who's his older brother?
Sister, the oldest. Willie's the oldest boy.
Yeah.
And Frankie's staying with the mother now. He looks older than Willie. He's about 47.
Yeah, but.
And Frankie.
But Frankie's well preserved.
Oh, yeah. He don't want to do too much. And Mama, you know, would take care of him with her. Little check and one thing or another, buy the gas to come to the store, he and his sister.
Yeah. I was down there one time, stopped by there, and Frankie was out in the pasture there at his house. And he is all set up to spray. And he's using the same chemicals that the boss man used.
Albert, is that right?
Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a whole lot of that centipede
mm-hmm.
out there in his rib, and he was just poisoning that bed, just about to drown it.
Want to get away with
it? Yes. And he said, "I said some spots here, Frankie. It looks like your behavior is a little thin." He says, "Well, I'm not rich like you are. I can't buy fertilizer." And I thought to myself, if he ain't rich like I am, he got to buy fertilizer.
That's right. Well, that thing that I tell you about that little magazine.
Yeah.
You got to put down to pick up. Have you heard that saying? If you don't put down, you're not gonna pick up anything.
Yeah.
He got too many cows on his pasture. You don't take care of it.
Yeah.
He planned his ride, didn't put no soda or top dress or nothing on it. That's how the feed rolled. I said, Frankie, you might as well give it to him out of the bag. You got to. I told him that sure as well.
Yeah. Frank came up here, and I had 3 or 4 blocks of salt under the bed there. You know, it's awful easy to run out of salt. Sometimes the season of the year, the cows seem to just...
Five,
just like all these suckers. And he saw the suckers, he says, there's a rich man buying all these blocks of salt. He says, I bought one block and had to cut it in two.
That's him. He lives there. That's him.
Well, now, you see, I never know whether he's telling the truth or not. He don't know
that,
does he?
Well, that's about right. Yes, sir. Then he's tired. He doesn't take care of him. I hate to see him. You know, look like they have to have props on to hold him up.
Yeah.
And he saves his replacement instead of selling a calf of it. He wants to save some more. And you see the little field that he hasn't got but about 30 or 40 acres there. And he must have, I'd say, 40 or 50 head of cattle on that little place.
Yeah, and no fertilizer.
No fertilizer on that, but he got a good crop of hay.
And no hay.
No hay. He buys it on credit, and he's still old for hay. I liked the boy, said, the old man told me he's going to give me a calf. He said, how about hauling it? I said, yeah, and you go down there with me, I'll go down and haul it, but I'm not going down there asking where that calf you're from, GP. He get mad. I said, but I go down in my pickup, all they have the side doing, haul the yearling in for you.
Oh, he buy hay from GP?
Yeah.
Well, I thought just the rich people did that. GP?
He had to have something to keep the cow from starving to death.
Well, GP did.
And he let him have it. He's just good hearted.
Just having him out.
Yeah. He said, I'm good Methodist, in other words. And he says, Frank is one of your good Baptists, in other words. And I decided to help my neighbor out. So He let him have, you know, a load of hay. He's like the hell we are.
Well, what does Frankie do best at?
I imagine mowing. Driving that tractor and mowing is about the best thing he can do.
Oh, that, Mr. Albert.
Albert. You got a way to do that. Albert, don't want to pull the gas down over halfway. But Frankie, he'll change gears, and it suits him to go slow. It's all right.
He don't care.
No. Put it in lower gear, in other words, and the gas half open, a tractor, it don't pull unless you let the rev turn up, in other words, RPM.
Yeah.
You got a gun on there, and it's supposed to pull the bottle down. I do baling that hay. They got to have it up, to turn 1,800 revolutions per minute. You got to pull the solder wide open.
Don't you ever hit a block or old pine, lighter pine or something?
That's when you throw your clutch out of gear, and I was just hoping, the knives don't catch it just right and break one of them, because they don't cost about $30 a piece, when the knives in there.
Yeah, and then it takes you a while to...
I broke one on Jippies. Where was that at? Over on a McIntosh on the Floyd Huff's Hill, they call it.
Yeah.
I picked up a lot of live oak limb. And that reel, throw that thing right on in. I use that, you kick it out, and it'll keep kicking, You see it, and if you don't kick it out of the way, you can just throw it out of gear and get down and pick it out of the way.
But once it gets
gets over that hump and gets in that chamber,
And
that thing caught it, and sheared it, and busted the other timing chain underneath, and it got the knotter tined out of the way. Well, the whole thing was out of whack.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. Well, I had him to pick up, and I come down to that farmer boy. He said, well, call him. I called him, and GP said, well, just well, good old cow. And he get another blade and get that other farmer boy drinks that beer and coffee all the time. What's his name? McIntosh.
Jarhead.
Jarhead, that's right.
Yeah.
I had the coffee. I thought I smelled it.
What happened to the coffee,
man?
Yeah,
I thought I smelled it.
Yeah.
Did you smell it? You made it, didn't you?
No, I've been thinking about that
before. No, I didn't care for it. I'm not much of a salad either.
Well,
did you try any of it?
No, I tried. That's a little different than that other, I guess.
Yeah,
that's a fruit salad, wasn't it? What is that?
That's got pineapple in it.
Well, I don't like pineapple.
You don't like
it?
Well,
that's it.
Well, let me tell you, just take a little taste.
You just don't want that taste.
But I try it, but pineapple don't agree with me too much.
Oh, I don't agree with you.
Well,
that's right.
Well, if they want, you put pineapple in for it.
Well,
she didn't know it. She didn't know what I was allergic to.
Yes, I thought you just meant to taste. If it doesn't agree with you, then you don't want to eat it.
But it's good. The other day was good. That yellow, I ate it with a lettuce. But I'm not too much for jello or salad.
Jello salad. And dessert? You didn't eat any dessert the other night. Yeah, didn't eat any cake.
I had ice cream, though.
Yeah, you know.
But that dessert business is, it puts a pound on you.
Yeah.
And it's getting summertime now, and I don't want to get to 170 or 75 pounds like I was once before.
Yeah, cut you down. Yeah.
You're liable to have a stroke.
Yeah.
There's so many young people now having heart attacks and all.
Yeah.
Good,
I think that old, my recollection of haymaking, Eric, I can't remember just how we used to make it all the time, and we weren't self-propelled, or didn't pull it around. We brought the hay to the mower, didn't we, to the baler, didn't
we? That's right.
Well, now, that was a good system, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It didn't cost anything.
That's right.
And you can just
have it on shocks and pull it up there with a mule, or horse, or mule, and feed it to the baler. Just like you do the peanuts.
Yeah.
Done the peanuts same way.
Yeah.
Peanuts, you pick them all. Whenever you had a picker, it wasn't able by the hand to get all around that stack and pick them all. Then you pull a bale up there, you had another little while, by then you bring them down, on your pitchfork, and feed it to the bale.
Yeah.
But that's been a good many years ago.
But that was better than just handling loose hay.
A whole lot better than putting it in the stacks and making a fence around it. You don't let the mule, eat it down and keep falling down. That's what the old way it used to do.
Yeah. We used to be get up and we'd pull a wagon full of loose hay up there and drop a needle down there and pull it up. Pull it back.
That's right, in the barn.
Strip it way back there.
When Man Rush, had the last one in operation out here, south side.
Yeah.
At that, that Dr. Lee's farm right now, what the name of it. It's Stud Farm, out where old man Ed Rush's home was. That fella bought it and he sold it, Murtis sold it to this old fella, then he sold it to Dr. Lee. He's a veterinarian in Miami, I think, the doctor.
Yeah. I hear people talk about old man Rush, and I never knew him.
Well, I think everybody just about knew him in two or three counties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
my man Ed Rush.
He died before I got here.
And they had the old Lloyd family.
Yeah.
And I guess it's on the. Just two of the girls living.
Oh, really?
Now, one of the girls went in the county home demonstration agent, Allie Lee. Did you know her?
No.
She hadn't been there for about four or five years.
Yeah. Well, how far back did he go?
Well, man, Ed, he was back here when we were going to school in 20.
Oh, he was thriving back there.
Yeah. Big farmer. Did you know old man Brown?
No.
Billy Brown, daddy? Billy Brown, I guess.
I don't want to see him.
Well, his daddy, one of them old timers. He used to be big farmers. That's like old man Gist used to be a big farmer.
Yeah.
Not Mortical. Mortical was a bird man, but
yeah.
Old man.
Let me tell you. I used to hear Preacher Gordon talk about coming down here and hunting birds with Rush.
Right, that's right. Quail hunting. And he used to be a big fox hunter, too. The old man would take that pickup and ride and hunt fox all night long. And they got over at my place one time, and they run the fox up there, and they treed them and raised and cane. And I got my little double-barrel 16-gauge shotgun and some high-powered shell. I might have had buckshot.
Yeah.
They had him in a flashlight. And they had parked the thing around Moose Pond Prairie there, in other words. And they run the fox around the prairie, and he come on around there and treat him in a hickory nut tree up there in front of my house. And all that fuss, in other words, and all that, I didn't know what it was, and I figured it was a coon or something.
Yeah.
And I got my flashlight and a little double barrel gun and three or four shells, and went up there, and I saw his eye, and I wheeled him out, and he hit the ground, sound like a limb chuckle.
And they didn't want him.
No, man, Mr. Rush, why he acted like he wanted to shoot me or kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, I killed that fox.
Yeah, he put out with you, wasn't he?
He was. Hey. I'll tell you, I'll never forget him.
Well, what was he, a great big one?
I'm glad you didn't give me very much this time.
I did that on purpose, Everett. I've got a lot more.
I know it, but I'm glad you didn't, because I hate to waste it. And if you'd have given me a lot more, I might not have eaten any of it. I wouldn't be nice, would it? What do you call that? I wouldn't show me. I believe that word is etiquette, isn't it, Peggy? Isn't that right? Etiquette.
Well, we're just home folks, and I thought I
really. Well, that's the way I feel among you people, and I've been knowing you too much. But like to be around type people that you all are.
You had people like Rush then, and that's they were, you see, they were just all over the country, weren't they?
That's right, you are. That was a style in the word is all
and
going
they didn't
everywhere.
Have to be money men.
No, that's right. But they got along and seemed to get along pretty good. In other words, raise a family, in other words, and had plenty to eat. Always had plenty of meat and sausage, sugar cane, syrup, potatoes.
Yeah.
Any farm, you know, had pretty good acres of beans and squash and cucumber and things.
As long as you didn't owe anybody, it was all right.
That's right.
And he, did he have, how much property did he have?
About 400, I'd say 400 or 500 acres. Brown had more than he did, old man Randolph Brown, Billy's daddy. And they divided up with a girl, and when I asked Billy, he was in that restaurant. That was noon yesterday. I was running down there working on the fence, running out of the restaurant. Didn't get through, and I wanted to get around that side. In other words, I went down and I got a sandwich and a cup of coffee. And Billy was in there drinking coffee. And I asked him, I said, tell me who. Did you sell that piece of property or rent it or lease it or what? He said, oh, I belong to Louise, my sister. And says, she leased it up for a price. Says, why? So she got the money behind it.
Yeah.
Price is up on that prairie. I don't know whether you heard of him or know him or not. But he says, I think she got the 5 or 10 year lease. But he said, I haven't seen her ask anything about it. But they got that Levy Lake. When you go out of Levy Lake on old... they call that old Walker-Hoosier Road, I believe, or something.
Yeah.
It's on the right-hand side. And that new fence, wire fence. I said, it cost them $1,000 fence that. I said, yeah, I think it did. But they got the money. But he said he never had asked Louise, you know, what she got for it or how many years they had or nothing. But he got his all back down, you know, where he put that corn. He used to plant 200 or 300 acres of corn, you know, back there. And then out on that Dungarvan Road where he planted it and corn, got orange grove, you know. Out there and got a big one out to him too.
Now let me see. My mind skipped. Who are we talking about?
That's Billy Brown. Billy, that's his part of the Ayers estate.
Oh, yeah.
And his mother still living in an old big two-story house.
But now that was his sisters.
But that was his sisters and the two little girls. One of them went to school and graduated with me. One they called Margaret.
Yeah.
And Margaret married a northern boy. But Louis married a local fella. I think he's an insurance man or something. And they live in Gainesville. They have a home in Gainesville. But Margaret lived up country. Billy said, I bet you don't know who that is sitting over that table. I said, I've been looking at her. I said, that's your sister Margaret. I said, it is. I went over to see her. They hadn't, you know, started serving. They had a 2-seat table together. And we graduated and raised up together and kids, you know, and she jumped up on the table and hugged my neck, you know, before all her husband and all other people at that thing, in other words.
Yeah.
But it's been years since I've seen her.
Is Billy's mother still living?
Yeah. She's getting a little age on her. I think she's about, she's 10 years older than Aunt Mary, so I'd make her 87. You said you was what, close to 90?
No, I'm 87.
You
87? I'm going on
80. Well, that's right, 88. My aunt, she's 77, and Miss Brown is 10 years older than she is. That's Miss Whittington. That's Dick's mother.
Well, you know, I don't know any of these fellows you're talking about. Now, I was out there, Dick Whittington. Is he a little puny-looking fella?
No, he's 6 foot, dark black eyes, dark hair.
Well, I got a hold of the wrong man, didn't I?
He's taller. He's taller, and yet as big as Buddy Huff. He worked for Buddy Huff.
Good Lord! Well, who in the world is ringing the bars? I saw. I tell you what, I was out there. They was making syrup out there at Gertrude's. And he walked up there, and they were had the tractor there pulling the place of the mule. And he walked up there, and they got the little cup and started drinking juice.
And he was a Whittington?
I thought he was.
Maybe well, that was. Must have been Dow. Dow Whittington.
Maybe it's somebody else. But I kept thinking that was
Dick Richard.
Mm-hmm. So, you see.
That Dow that married Willie's wife's sister, I imagine.
Yeah. He was a little fella, but he talked like he knew everybody.
Well, Dow, he knows everybody, too. But he's pretty tall, and I would be skinny, thin.
Well,
and he's older than I am. Dow is older than I am. Dow's 62 years old.
Looks a little younger than that. Yeah, I remember. But he talked like he just knew everybody.
Yeah, Dow, he knows everybody. He worked sawmill on the edge over about 15 years.
Yeah. Well, now, does Dick get out much now, or is he just out there down at the office all the time?
He stays in that office pretty well, I think. I don't think he gets out too much. He might, once in a while, check on the road and see about how the fruit coming or how the loading is or something of that kind.
Yeah. But he don't have to be out very much.
He's the main telephone man. He does the world and world of talking on the telephone.
Oh, does he?
Continue the business.
Well,
in the watermelon season, he's on that continue.
Well, you know, that's what I kept thinking about with a fella like Cedric Smith. He'd get all that equipment over there, and he'd get to the point where he won't be able to get out. He'll have to sit at the desk and buy all the time.
That's right.
And book all that...
Well, he got
soybeans and all.
His wife, he got her doing lots of that.
Well, a lot of that you can't delegate. You just got to do it. Now, Whitehurst, his boys are in the office.
Yes, sir. Well, he has an extra bookkeeper.
Yeah.
He got one bookkeeper in there. His name's Smith, too, Oka Smith.
So all
we
those,
went to school together.
All those big operations running to death for
play it. Ball together. Oka's a bookkeeper for him.
Yeah.
But, each one of them has a certain job to do. Whitehurst said, boy, they do a certain job. And no man's in and out.
Yeah.
He wasn't at the barbecue. He and his wife had gone to Ohio with her people. And they didn't fly this time. He went in her car.
Well, now, I didn't quite get to get
they
that
got
straight.
A Cadillac.
That was, that was your cousin's daughter. Johnny Mixon's daughter?
Yeah, is she going overseas? Mm-hmm.
And
her husband.
Her boyfriend, or is that her husband?
Her husband. They've been married, I guess a year and a half.
Well,
if he'd have stayed another 3 or 4 months, he'd have been out for good, just like that DeVardo boy at Orange Lake and married Beamer's daughter. He's out for good.
Yeah.
And he's going to school and take up some trade, learn how to do something.
Well,
the bookkeeper, but she's selling her car and quitting the job at the telephone office, and they're both leaving and going to Germany. And he got to be over there now and there, I think, another year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now, this boy, where does he come from?
That's Johnny.
Johnny's.
You mean his son-in-law?
Yeah.
He's from Miami, originally, his daddy, in other words, and they sold that place and built a trailer. And they is out there doing a little cotton work like Willie, you know, done with you here, changing some lights, or putting some old plugs, I think, in the wall, cutting some, because he asked me about my keyhole saw.
Yeah.
And those people bought it. They're from West Palm Beach. They carry you home on top of the hill.
Yeah. Well,
on this Dunn, you know where the Dunn Garvin Road is, it cuts off at Iron Lake to the Trade Winds. And before you get to the other 329 at the house on the left.
Yeah.
And they had it all bulldozed. And she wanted me to fence it when I was fencing some for that Cromwell boy working up at the university. He's teaching some kind of classes or something.
Yeah.
Richard Cromwell.
Yeah.
teaching the university.
He bought a place out there.
About 90 acres out there on the corner from Willie.
Yeah.
You know, right on, after going on the road and hit this road, it's right on that side.
What's this boy's name who was going to Vietnam?
Stanley Carrier.
Carrier. Yeah.
And the man sold his place, and I was in this lady from West Palm Beach. She's up there today, and she's supervising there. That's where he was this morning.
Well, and they were having a barbecue for him.
Send him away. A giveaway, because I told some of them, said, well, I didn't get any taste. And I said, well, I don't know where it was, his people or his people and her together, I reckon, inviting the people. And you have to give an answer whether you're going to be there or not, see?
Yeah.
And they said, if they didn't hear from me, then you know what I'm going to be. I said, well, I told one of the Johnny's other girls, I want about a half a cup of that, too, man.
This is all, this is not ideal coffee, but you can drink it, can't you?
Yes, sir. Want some more?
I got a little bit. I'll get some in a minute.
But,
well, now, how did it go? You gotta have plenty of barbecue?
No, they ate the meat up. had a hog dressed 230 pounds, and they said there wouldn't be about 75, but 150. And my job was making the coffee.
Yeah.
And they have a big urn, you see.
Yeah.
And it takes a pound of coffee, and I would make it real coffee. Now, I like coffee. I don't like no branch water or restaurant coffee.
Yeah.
I want coffee. Yeah, I can put water in it if it's not. You know, if it's too strong, I can put water in it. See?
Yeah.
If it's hot, well, I put cold water.
Yeah.
But
and then
they couldn't find us. I think Johnny's that girl's sister, Olin, she is. She was supposed to bring the coffee. Mine was light bread.
Yeah.
2 giant loaves of bread, you know. And somebody else, you know, had 2 giant loaves. And some of them had a bowl, had to bring salad, some pickle.
Uh-huh.
Some of them, you know, these 49, 69, several packages of potato chips. And this girl, you know, wife, she's in the family, you know, that's her sister, you know, and her husband going to Vietnam. While her job was bringing the coffee.
Hmm.
Well, all she had in her wood was a half a pound of mackerel house, I believe what it was. A drip, you know.
For 150 people?
For 150. She thought that'd be enough. Wasn't going to be for 75, but it's 150. And so then we went in Whitehurst Lodge, you know, that's I reckon that place cost $60,000, you know, his lodge, what's called a lodge. He got a living room out of all these deer heads, and there wasn't a mantle and all that, and this floor, you know, it's, what you call it, rock looking stuff, you know, all over. They say it cost $10,000 or $12,000 just to have one room.
Now, is that where they had it?
That's where they had it. But we had it under the shed, under the barbecue, but a lot of them went in, they got television, got moose. Elk and everything else all around the wall and souvenirs. Then they got a big table in there and a big kitchen dining room to wash the things, in other words.
Just let anybody go out there and have
the cabinet, in other words, they got the wall cabinet, in other words, the start around here and the cabinet go all around that way and on the bottom the same way. So one of the Whitehurst boys was there and he said, let's look for coffee. And we looked and everything there and I don't know, we opened drawers and open the door, you know, some of them door and some drawers, and we couldn't find no coffee, anything at all. There's plenty of other kind of stuff, in other words, to you, but no coffee. Then he said, well, you have to just make a half a yarn. I said, well, it won't do right with a half. You know how them yarns are, they just won't work right. It's something to knock off too quick. So I filled it up about half, and then I waited on them, in other words, because Johnny's wife and her cousin, she's a cousin of mine, Johnny's a cousin, kin on both sides on that family. See,
right.
Johnny is Willie's wife's a brother. See, I'm kin to Willie. Then the girl he married on my daddy's side, she's a cousin. She was a Reynolds.
You
from
mean,
Fairfield, Johnny's wife, Violet. She's a Reynolds. So she, on my daddy's side, kin to me, and then on my mama's side, I'm kin to the others, see? So I'm kin on both sides. In fact, they married cousins.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't know about third cousin. Married cousin.
They all let you make the barbecue.
And Johnny, in other words, he said he cook it. In other words, said he could work on it. They ate up that big pork. In other words, and gave out a coffee. And I said, well, they'll have to drink iced tea. But I served there for a good long while.
Yeah.
When we only had the regular coffee cup,
yeah.
I give about half, between a half and 2/3. Some of them, you know, wanted to put other ingredients in it, some didn't. And after I served them and the flies broke up, I'd hung, of course, I'd already sampled the beef, I mean the pork, yeah. And it was good eating.
By the time you got through serving.
But I said, it's getting kind of low, and I got me a half a cup while I was waiting, in other words. Then I said, I'm going to get me another cup and set it down and get in line and get me some meat and some pork and beans, in other words, those beans and bacon strips and bread, you know, and the potato chips and pickles. And I had tossed salad in one of these old, two or three of the old things you're gouging on, pick them up with and put it on your plate. And I got me a helping of that, in other words, and said, I don't know, and enjoyed myself.
And
somebody called me, and I would have said, the coffee's out. I said, well, you'll have to drink tea or water. And some of the teenagers, I said, well, there's a water spigot up there, and there's one at the end of the table here, and one in the kitchen.
But I got my coffee, in time to get my coffee, in other words, and get some barbecue.
But what was left is two or three pieces of ribs.
Yeah.
And I asked John, and he said, well, he said, that would all fit in and knock it out. I said, them people ate something.
You know what? I, talking about barbecue meat, I tell you what I miss the most. You should mention ribs, made me think of it.
Yeah.
Is a roast, Everett. Just a good piece of meat that you can roast and it'll be juicy. Now that's what I miss the most.
Well, that's what they had that up there. He had it.
That's
had it good. Barbecue. You know, I'd say 3 or 4 pound chunks. Maybe four. I know 4 pound chunks.
Yeah.
They barbecued and they were cooked all the way inside. Because you tell you know how it's done by putting a fork in it, see?
I'd like to know where they got it. I can't find it.
And to tell me, in other words, that boy, he's got it, in other words. That's my niece's husband now. She married. And he going to university. He wants to be a criminal lawyer. I said, you ought to go ahead and be a CPA. He's working with Standard Oil Kentucky, in other words, and making, you know, about $15,000 a year. But now he wanted to be a criminal lawyer, so he's going to study law. But now then, while he's opened up a barbecue place in Gainesville, he's doing so well until he had to drop out of school a semester, in other words, to take care of his business. He wanted me to come up there and run the thing for him. I said, I can run it, but I don't care anything about the barbecue business. I said, I got going over there and helping with the tailor, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to work the hay deal. Maybe in late on in the fall, I may go back to the university with Dr. Cunha, in other words. But they say his meat's real good. Now, it's on what I call Second Avenue. You know where Second Avenue in Gainesville?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of off the street a little way, but you can maybe see it. It's not too far down. It's kind of around the corner of another building there, seem to me like. If before you get down, well, I just don't know exactly how to just tell you where it is. But my brother, in other words, he goes up there. That's his daughter, in other words. And they serve it. You to carry home with you, or you can get a sandwich or whatnot. But sometimes it's a lot of crowd there.
Mm-hmm.
But you could phone, in other words.
Now, this is the end of Channel 1 Right and the visit with Everett Smith after supper this Friday night, the 9th of April 1971. Good Friday. This is the end of Channel 1 Right, and the continuation of the visit with Everett Smith this Friday night after supper, during supper and after supper this Friday night, the 9th of April 1971, Good Friday. This is Channel 1 Right, and the end of it. The continuation of the visit with Everett Smith this Friday night at supper, this 9th of April, 1971, Good Friday.